This is a podcast from the University of Manchester's Jodrell Banks Centre for Astrophysics. For the full show and archives, visit jodcast.net.
In the news this month, Cassini begins its grand finale, cosmologists debate a cold spot, and scientists go on the march. The much-storied Cassini space probe began the last phase of its long mission around the solar system this month with a spectacular plunge through the inner rings of Saturn. Since being launched in 1997, the joint European Space Agency, NASA, and Italian Space Agency mission has sent back a stream of amazing images and exciting data on Saturn and its moons. The mission has included flybys of the ice moon Enceladus, methane lake-covered Titan, and two-tone Iapetus, as well as continuous observations of Saturn itself. In 2005, the Huygens probe, which had journeyed along with Cassini, landed on the surface of Titan and sent back some of humanity's most memorable images of another celestial body, showing the first evidence of stable liquids flowing and pooling anywhere else other than the Earth. Cassini itself has had its mission extended twice already, but is now entering the final phase, more than 20 years after launch, which has been christened the Grand Finale. This retirement plan will culminate in the spacecraft descending into and being destroyed by Saturn's atmosphere. But manoeuvring into the correct orbit for this will also create a number of opportunities to eke out some more exciting science. First, on the 22nd of April, Cassini flew by Titan in order to slingshot itself into an orbit which would take it between Saturn's innermost rings, known as the D-rings, and the planet itself, closer to the surface than any other spacecraft has been before. In order to shield itself from particles inside the D-rings, expected to be mostly tiny particles of water ice between 1 and 100 micrometers across, whilst travelling through them at some 77,000 miles per hour, Cassini readjusted itself so its 4-meter high-gain communications dish was held out in front, with the hope it would deflect any incoming particles. This did mean that the spacecraft was unable to communicate during the plunge, however, ensuring a nervous wait for controllers on the ground. 20 hours after beginning the manoeuvre, Cassini re-established contact and began sending back data, including the closest ever pictures of Saturn's atmosphere and the inner rings. Over the months until November, we will see 21 more of these plunges until a final goodbye is said and Cassini disappears into the planet's atmosphere one final time, ending a hugely successful mission which has continually captured people's imagination for 20 years. Also in the news this month, a new paper posted to the Archive preprint website sparked renewed discussion as to the significance, or not, of a particularly cold spot in our map of the cosmic microwave background, or CMB. The CMB is one of the most important data sets in cosmology, and consists of the first photons of light to ever travel freely, just a few hundred thousand years after the universe's hot Big Bang phase. The microwave light is incredibly uniform across the sky, at a temperature of 2.725 Kelvin, but does have tiny fluctuations in temperature at the level of one part in 100,000. These temperature fluctuations are the result of fluctuations in the density of stuff in the early universe. In areas of above average density, photons have to expend extra energy climbing out of the gravitational wells created, causing cold spots. And in areas of below average density, they have to climb less, creating hot spots. The exact pattern of amplitudes of these hot and cold spots appears to almost perfectly follow a Gaussian or normal distribution, meaning cosmologists strongly believe the fluctuations were created extremely early on in the Big Bang period, as microscopic quantum fluctuations, which were stretched to the size of the entire observable universe by an exotic process called inflation. However, since they were released 14 billion years ago, the photons which make up the CMB have done 14 billion light years worth of travelling through an ever-evolving universe. These travels leave small but detectable imprints on the photons' temperatures. One of these imprints is known as the integrated Sachs-Wolfe, or ISW effect. After Rainer Sachs and Arthur Wolff, who first described it in 1967. The ISW effect comes from the same process of photons falling into and climbing out of gravitational potential wells. But rather than from the initial over and under densities, the potential wells are those of structures much more local to us in the universe, such as clusters and voids in the distribution of galaxies. If the expansion of the universe was not accelerating, this would have no net effect, as photons would fall and climb the same distances when entering and exiting the clusters and voids, and so neither gain nor lose total temperature. However, due to dark energy, the universe's expansion is accelerating. This means that when a photon comes to climb out of the potential created by a galaxy cluster, it finds the potential well is shallower than it was when it fell in, meaning it gains temperature overall, with the opposite happening for empty void areas with gravitational hills. It was this effect which this month's new paper addressed, attempting to find a void in the distribution of galaxies which could explain a particularly extreme cold spot, which cosmologists creatively refer to as the cold spot, in our maps of the CMB. The cold spot has been known about since NASA's WMAP satellite first mapped the whole sky CMB fluctuations in 2003, and has been the subject of much speculation as to its origin. Is it evidence that the initial CMB fluctuations were not Gaussian, meaning that the physics of the inflation period are even more crazy than first suspected? Is it evidence of so-called bubble collisions between our patch of the universe and another completely separate one? Or is it just a by-chance alignment, the largest cold spot, yes, but not larger than we would expect the largest one to be in any one particular realisation of the universe? The authors, led by PhD student Rory McKenzie of the Centre for Extragalactic Astronomy at Durham University in the UK, tested the void explanation by looking for gaps in the distribution of galaxies in the direction of the cold spot, which could have cooled the CMB photons. Looking at data taken using the VLT Survey Telescope in Chile and the Anglo-Australian Telescope at Siding Springs in Australia, McKenzie and collaborators were able to make the most precise 3D map yet of galaxies in the direction of the cold spot. What they found was indeed a number of voids, but also a number of overdensities of galaxies, meaning the total ISW effect expected was not enough to explain the coldness of the cold spot. This leaves the door open for a number of the more exotic explanations, but also led to a rush of cosmologists pointing out just how likely it was that the feature exists purely by chance, with most reasonable estimates being around 1 in 50, a pretty high chance for one particular feature to exist. And finally, scientists around the world this month gathered to shout about the importance of science to society. A series of events under the March for Science banner were held in over 600 cities worldwide to coincide with Earth Day on the 22nd of April. The goal of the marches was to amplify the voices of scientists, many of whom are concerned about their role within society and attitudes towards science and science funding in the wake of recent political events, such as the election of Donald Trump as the President of the United States of America and the UK referendum to leave the European Union. In the UK, European Research Council, or ERC, grants accounted for some €8.8 billion worth of science funding between 2007 and 2013, around 10% of the total spent by the UK government. In areas such as astrophysics, this proportion is even higher, up to a fifth in many institutions. No assurances have yet been made as to whether UK scientists will continue to have access to this money after Brexit, either through continued access to ERC funding programmes or replacement of the money by the UK government. And many protesters were keen to remind politicians how successful UK scientists are and how important science is to life and work in the UK. Many others expressed broader concerns about climate change scepticism and other anti-science views which have gained prominent and powerful supporters recently. Though quantifying attendance at protest marches is notoriously difficult, estimates of worldwide participation lie in the few hundred thousands, with a small group of Jodrell Bank astronomers joining the couple of hundred others at the Manchester March. Hopefully, the message of the importance of scientists will have been heard by those in power, and the public in general gained awareness of scientists as a body of real people with concerns about their future.